Then we'll end up in Nehemiah chapter 8 where we're at on normal on a Sunday morning. Hey, to let everybody know, we're having difficulty with a couple things. One is like our recording and audio is doing things. We don't know why. So if you're listening online, just want to let you know that worst case scenario, we are recording it here. We can get that, clean it up, edit it, and repost it. So worst case scenario, you'll just get audio, and it might be even like tomorrow morning. We don't know. So anyways, that's the problem with some of this stuff with technology. So we're sorry. We're doing everything we can about that. The second thing, a couple people came up to me and said I tried to give to the Johnsons, but their name, there's nowhere to put their name on there. You know what? My bad on that. So we're learning this thing too. So here's what you do. If you want to give on the app, it's real simple, but we have no events going on for a while for youth. So since he is a youth, earmark it youth. Anything earmarked youth today, or we'll even give it tomorrow, we'll make sure that money's taken and put towards the Johnson family. We're going to tell them it's from Jesus. So does that make sense? So earmark it youth. I noticed when I went through there, somebody put my name on there if you wanted to give to me. So I just wanted to point that out. That's it. I'll make you a deal. You want to give to me? I'll give all that to the Johnsons too. So Mike Blaker the youth, and it'll all go to the Johnson family. So anyways. Hey guys, I just wanted to share a couple things with you. It is the Christmas season. Some years we do Christmas messages and make it real festive, and other years we do just what we do best. We go to the Bible, you know. God has us in the book of Nehemiah, and I believe he's going to speak to us out of the book of Nehemiah right where we need to be. But what I'd like to do is I'd like to talk to you just in general about the Christmas season for just the first half of today's message, or maybe even a little bit more than that. Take your Bibles and go to 1 Timothy chapter 1. I'm going to take you on a little bit of a journey here for a bit. In 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 4. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 4, it says, "Hey, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogy, which minister questions, rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do." You know, so Paul, writing to a young pastor in Timothy here, he makes sure he knows, hey, don't give heed to fables and endless genealogies. So we've got to watch fables. It's story time. We're a culture and we love fairy tales. We take our kids ever since they're little, and you read, you know, I got a preschool teacher in our house, and last night after dinner, they read a preschool book on Christmas to me, you know, and I'm like, okay, I get it. It was great. You know, there's a lot of good things in there. Kids love it, right? We make up stories for them all the time. If you go to the same book, to chapter 4, he gives a little warning again, and he says in 1 Timothy 4:7, "Hey, refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness." Watch old wives' fables. Because listen, folks, and we know this, but here's the harsh reality. They're not true. It's like all of our children, you know, especially little boys, you know, it seems like, especially in this day and age, you know, when I was little or my dad was a boy, shows started coming on TV about, and usually they were cowboys. They were heroes, and the Lone Ranger. And by the way, I never played with baby dolls as a kid, but somebody got me a Lone Ranger doll on a horse. I was all over it. Later on, I got a G.I. Joe doll. I was all over it. You know, he was a Navy SEAL, too. He was in the bathtub with me. I did all that stuff. Because there was a time when you're little and your imagination runs wild. And guys, you know, some of that's very healthy. The problem is, you know, when you start getting near 16 years old, you got to cut the fables and stories out. It's time to grow up. You know, but a lot of people never do. They live in this fantasy land. So let me take, you're in 1 Timothy, keep going to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 4. It says, verse 4 says, it's talking about basically, say, preach the word, verse 2. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. Verse 3. "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. The time's going to come when people won't endure sound doctrine. That word means sound teaching of the Bible. People will not endure that. They won't listen to that. They don't like that. You know why, don't you? It's truth. And when you're living a fairy tale, the truth rubs you raw, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And it says in verse 3, what they'll do is not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. They shall, watch this, turn away their ears from the truth, and they'll turn into what? Lies, fables, fairy tales, stories. So notice, you have to turn from truth to go to the fables. Or you can turn from the fables and turn to the truth. Those are options right there. Matter of fact, writing to another pastor, you got 2 Timothy, if you go to the very next book, Titus 1:14, you know what he says to Titus? Not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men. You know why? They turn from the truth. Okay. Now I want to turn my attention to Santa Claus. And I am not a psycho weirdo. You know, there's trees mentioned in the Bible for Baal. They put up a Baal pole. They decorated it. All this stuff we do, you know, that has nothing to do with Jesus. But we do it. It's part of our culture, right? It's a time of festivities, right? And through time, it has changed and it morphs. We talked about this at Halloween time. There's a lot of, just with Christmas, I think especially, it's the largest holiday on our calendar. I mean, we take time off of work and we're getting ready to head into the new year. It's going to be a brand new year, but you know what you got to do first? Everybody has got to deal with Santa Claus. It's not my job to stand up here. And I'm going to preach the truth. I'm not going to sit back and everything with our culture. I don't want to, you know, tear down everything or everybody's belief system or everybody's building. But what I want to do is take the Bible and lift it up. Because it's bigger, it's badder, it's better. The negative for you and me, the negative for us, is when we come up with a figure and we sell Santa Claus to our children, and we keep doing this year after year after year, the biggest problem I have with that, it's not like when your kid comes out and wears a cape and jumps off the couch. I did that once. My mom was in the room. I was climbing on the Lazy Boy recliner, jumping up on, we had a stereo. You know when the stereos were real big? You know, the speakers on the side and the top. We had the lid shut to that thing. I was jumping up there, and that was the highest point I could get to in that living room. And I put a towel on my back, and I was Superman. And I was jumping off that thing, you know. Then I had my friends do it with me till I got on the chair and one of them pushed me over. Man, I cracked. That was the first stitches I had in my life. I split my lip open trying to be Superman. And you know, I realized something. My gosh, I can fly, but I can't keep myself from busting my lip open. What's the problem here, you know? I like that little, the faith healer on TV. You're like, he's healing people of all these diseases and changing their arms and their legs. I'm just like, but the dude's wearing glasses. Joke's on him, right? You can't even cure your own eyesight, my friend, but you're making people's legs grow an inch longer today? It's crazy. Or they're just giving them hokus. Them things are tall. Oh, wow, I'm healed. Okay. So the imagination of a child is great. And I want you to know the imagination of a child, children are very vulnerable, right? And we know that. And so as parents, the problem I have is not that we're dealing with Santa Claus and doing those type of things. Because here's what I've done, just to let you know how I've handled this through the years. And I had a grandfather that used to call at Christmas Eve so late that my mom would call us out of bed. And we'd run in there and she'd say, somebody's on the phone. And we knew it was my grandpa because of his voice. But he'd be like, ho, 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 Merry Christmas. You know, and he would say that he's a couple of roofs down and we need to get to bed or he can't get to our house to deliver gifts. We knew it was him. And then the next year he'd be like, hark, do you hear reindeer hoofs on your, you know? And it, you know, and we just played with it, you know. And you know, after I was like 17, I was like, "Hey, Grandpa, it's okay. You don't have to do that anymore." But you know, it was fun. But you know, the moment, of course, when you'll get to a spot as a parent when you're playing the games and you're dealing with the fables, and your kids will start to see truth, and they'll ask questions. You'll get to the point where you have to be honest with yourself, and you just say, I've been lying to him. I've been deceived. Well, no, we're playing. It's imagination. We're playing. It's not like that you've done anything bad. Now, some parents want to keep that going and going. They'll make up lies and more lies and do all kinds of crazy stuff. And I always made sure when the truth started coming out, I began to unfold the story. And we still made it as fun as we absolutely could. The problem is, in our homes, is when Santa Claus is bigger than the Savior. That's the problem, folks. And it's the problem in every area of our life. What is your hobbies and what is your habits? What do you like to do? Because if it is bigger than the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible just says that has become an idol then. That's what you're worshiping. And that's the problem this time of year, even as Christian parents, you know, we're playing the games and dealing with the... And everybody says, why don't the Christian stations play more Christmas music? Well, part of the reason is it's nothing but fables. I mean, I like Christmas songs, but most of them are all about, you know, a red-nosed reindeer and a snowman and Santa Claus, and it's a little bit of a contradiction. Yeah, I know it can be fun, but listen, at some point we got to say, the reality is it is childish. It is for the imagination of a kid. What I'd like to do today is I want to give you something at this Christmas season to combat all of this stuff. I want you to see there's a reality here that we need to deal with. In the midst of the fun, in the midst of the kidding, in the midst of, you know, buying everybody presents and talking Santa Claus, and there's elves and they're up in the North Pole and he can deliver to every child, man, woman, boy, and girl in one night. And we sell all that stuff, you know, and we're all about the Polar Express. And what a great movie. If you don't think it's a great movie and festive, then I think you need to find another church. You know, it's fun. That stuff's fun. We get it. But guys, let's remember a couple things. So you ready? Take some notes on this. I want you to know, the Bible says that Satan is the number one deceiver on the planet. That's his job. In Revelation chapter 12 and verse 9, he's called a dragon, and it says, this dragon deceiveth the whole world. His job is to take us, as we're looking at truth, or we're looking at the Lord Jesus Christ, he'll do anything he can to get our focus off of that. It can be something little, it can be something big. When he fell from heaven, he used to be a covering cherub, right? He was glowing with God's light, was glowing off of him and all these jewels. And he finally one day said, I will exalt myself. I will exalt myself above the Most High. His job is always to make himself bigger than God. And that's what the deception behind him. He'll do anything he can to get anything that we can take, and so that we will put them above him. And guys, for you and me, he's not going to do it like with meth. He ain't going to do it with some like... You know, he ain't going to do it with heroin. You know, he ain't going to chase us down and say, hey, smoke this. Because most of us are going to go, no, I don't want to do that. That's bad. But you know what he'll do? He'll make sure that we lift our children up above him, above God. He'll take things that we're interested in that inherently are not bad. They're not immoral. And what we'll do is live for that, and we will call ourselves good Christian people the whole time having an idol we bow down to. It could be a job. It could be a bank account. When you see that razor go up, you get a buzz. You always make fun of people, like how many likes they got or buzzes. It's a dopamine hit when their phone's going off and people are sending them snaps, you know, and people are excited and makes them feel wanted and makes them feel popular. And it's funny that older people will look at younger people and we make fun of you for doing that. And yet we turn around and you know what we do? We do a very similar thing. We get high when our kids tell us something, right? You know, or we'll make a good decision over here, see the bank account, and it gives us the same hit. It's the same thing. Any little thing that'll put us above God and the Lord Jesus Christ, he's pleased with that. See, he walks about seeking whom he may devour. If he ran in this room like a madman right now, if he ran in this room like the Tasmanian devils, we'd be like, oh my gosh, watch out for this, that's crazy. No, he walks about seeking whom he may devour. It's like watching your cat. He's sneaky. He's sneaking on you. Don't even know he's there. And that's exactly why the Bible describes Satan that way. Because, guys, it's so smooth. When he was in the garden in Genesis, we know that he walked up to Adam and Eve and he says, man, that tree. He said, you know, God just knows it's good. And God knows it'll be pleasant for you. And it'll actually make you wise. God knows that. He tricked them. He actually started quoting from God because he's such a deceiver. And we got to be careful because there's a slippery slope this time of year on this holiday. It's so big and so massive that we want to sing Christmas carols everywhere. And we want to buy gifts for people and toys for tots and shoes and coats. And we do all of these things and we sometimes buy into a system that is nothing but deception. Even all that good stuff. You come to find out sometimes when you look at the book of truth that it's not eternal. And I didn't say, you never heard out of my mouth that something's wrong with all of that. I would not say that because I think that would be wrong. Hey, take your Bibles in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 14. It says, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into what? An angel of light. So, guys, we should know, Satan turns himself into an angel of light. Don't always think the devil comes in the form of a prostitute. Why do we think that? We always think the worst. You know, he's a creepy drug dealer. And that's not good stuff. But you know what he gets most people with? Kindness. Sweetness. The Bible says he transforms himself into an angel of light. It's very deceptive. So just mark this down. The devil is a master of disguise. I always think, has anybody ever watched the X-Men? They're pretty good godly movies. There's a character in there, and her name is Mystique. She's a master of disguise. She'd become like anybody. She's like the most wicked one, in my opinion. Every time I see her, I say, man, they did good to get a woman to play that role, too. Woo! Man, she would turn into your boss. She would turn into your spouse. She could just become anything and anybody. It's just like, it's really freaky. And every time I see her, I'm like, man, that's the devil. He ain't in red. He's in blue. He's in blue in this movie, you know. Even though some of the time she was a hero in it. But the angel of light. So the devil's a master of disguise. Now, we've got this character that's popped up on the scene. And he's been around for years. And he has morphed and changed through the years, too. Some would call him St. Nicholas. Most of us would just call him, you know, Santa Claus. Well, let me tell you just a few things about him. Check this out. You know, as he comes in, he used to be called like Father Christmas, right? People would address him as that. And then you get near New Year's and then there'd be a Father Time. It's usually a character that's big, jolly, bigger than life, and it's got big, long, white hair, right? Representing wisdom. Well, I want you to know the book of Matthew 23 and verse 9, Jesus talking about religious leaders. He said, hey, call no man Father. We don't worship it. Now, you got a daddy? He birthed you to this planet? Yeah, he's not talking about the context of that. And Matthew chapter 23 is religious figures. Somebody that you would worship. So if you ever go to a church and some guy gets up and says, my name is Father Michael. I mean, you don't have to throw your Bible and hit him across the head, but I would leave the place. That's wrong. To worship. It's wrong. It's wrong for you to worship me. And a lot of pastors want that. When you public speak, a lot of people in positions of authority, they want attention. Well, my attention is to be a reflection, to magnify the Lord. That's my job. My job is very similar to where Lucifer was at one day, to bear witness of the light. You know, like John the Baptist said, I'm not the light. Jesus Christ is the light. I got to decrease so he can increase. And so, call no man Father. And yet people will constantly call him Father. Did you know Revelation chapter 1 says, you know, John goes up into heaven. When they see God on the throne, you know, they'll talk about having white hair. Revelation 1, 13 and 14. Did you know it's crazy because in Revelation 19, when God comes out, it says he's got a vesture. And you would think heavenly and it would be white, wouldn't you? No, when Jesus comes back, it's a second coming context. He comes out in a red robe that was white, that was dyed red by the blood of people that went against him. He's got a red suit. He comes out in a red suit. And my point is, this great deceiver that comes on the scene, and we're like, this is Saint Nicholas. He's got white hair. He's got a red suit. I mean, this guy's larger than life. You know what's crazy? The Bible says in John 10, he says, hey, be careful, because he that goes through the door, that's the shepherd. The one that don't go through the door, he comes in another way, false. It's crazy. Santa Claus never knocks on the front door. He's always sneaking into people's house. And it's miraculous that fat guy can get down any chimney, you know. But he does. He does. It's miraculous. But you know what the Bible would say that? That ain't nobody you want in your house. But you know what makes it so deceptive? People say, well, he's not stealing, he's giving gifts. He's giving gifts and stealing our worship. He's stealing our attention. He's stealing our time. Now, I've never said, kick Santa Claus out of your house. I've never said, did I say that today? Did I say if your kids bring up Santa Claus, you should give them spanking time to the tree and whip them 30 lashes? I've never said that. And nor would I say that. But I will speak the truth here today. I want to give you, did you know in Mark chapter 6 and verse 3 when Jesus comes on the scene, isn't it neat? The creator of the world was born into a house of a carpenter. So he was always in a workshop and they were always about the building. Anybody that knows stories of Santa Claus, you know there's up in the North Pole, he's got his workshop and he's up there and it's amazing that he's a great master builder. And that's exactly what the Bible would say, the Lord Jesus Christ, what our God would represent is, you know, is this. You know, did you know the North Star, the one that we gauge everything off of? Well, that would be the third abode, the Bible says, or the third in heaven. God lives in the north. That's why anytime we need direction, you better find true north first. You are not going to a good place in life if you don't got true north down. You got to get the heavenly down. You got to get the eternal down, right? And so I just want you to know that God, it's mentioned three times, well, I had three verses down, but Psalm 75, 6 and 7 talks about our God and true north up in the north. Isn't it amazing when Santa Claus comes on the scene? It's like he lives in the North Pole. He's as far north as you can get. You guys, I think you're seeing what I'm getting to. Boy, there's some serious deception going on. You know, I like the little video we watched of the two little elves because they're just like talking all these things and we're like, that's so funny, that's so funny. It all applied to Jesus. And yet they were talking about Santa Claus. One's deceptive, one's the truth, right? What about elves anyways? You ever look at elves? They're strange looking. They're little. Some of them are green. They got pointed ears. They just look like strange little creatures. It's funny when Satan fell from heaven, the Bible said he drew a third of the stars. He's got minions, man. He does. He's got strange little creatures. And the Bible said, now we would probably more think of like demons. Little demon creatures that do things and can do miraculous things. Yeah, well, he's got those too. Hey, what about the flying reindeer? Did you know when Jesus Christ comes back, before Jesus comes back, the Antichrist comes back, did you know they both mention a horse? They come back on a flying horse. I mean, the only difference we change with Santa Claus is we just throw antlers on the horses. It's weird that they ride animals. And them are animals that cannot fly. Oh, no, but they do. It's magic. It's Christmas magic, isn't it? Or it's just the miraculous. It's how God's coming back, right? And another, he's coming back on a battle horse. That's why he's coming back and he's going to, you know, finally get his spot, you know. It's weird too, isn't it funny that Santa Claus is, you know, you better watch out, right? Well, how's it going? You better watch out. You better not pout. You better not cry. I'm telling you why Santa Claus is coming down. And what he's going to say is he wants to know who's good and bad. He wants to who's naughty, right? And who's nice? Have you been a good boy? In every movie you watch, you're just like, and you're on the naughty list. What? He's keeping track of all that? Yeah, because he's all powerful. Guess what? He knows everything. He's omniscient. Guys, them are all character traits in God's word that point to the Lord. That point to the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, Jesus even said to the disciples, he said, guys, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. Nuh-uh. That's given to Santa Claus. Well, the truth is, it's Jesus Christ. It's a little more fun when we sometimes talk about Santa Claus getting it, right? What about David? David says, you know what, God? I don't care if you make your bed in hell, he's there. All these character traits of omniscient and omnipresent, this is all stuff for our God. You know, the whole system set up, are you good? You're getting a gift. Are you bad? You're getting cold. What's cold do? Starts fires. Bad people burn, man. You're going to be a piece of coal to add to the whole thing, right? Well, that's the fairy tale of it. Because the good news is for you and me is when Jesus Christ comes, and when he came the first time, bled, died, resurrected, he said, now, Ephesians 2:8-9, if you put your faith and trust in me, you can become a Christian. Oh, and by the way, it's not of works, lest any man should boast. So the deception is, are you a good boy or a bad boy? Why do you tell your kids that anyway? You know you're getting them the present. Very few parents even say, oh, you're complaining about the food, then you're not eating tonight. As soon as your kid cries, you'll give them what they want. Or you'll give them a peanut butter sandwich or, whatever. You won't follow through like you think they're going to die. There's kids that go to bed every night around the world and don't eat. You know, we got to sit back and you know what? Because we believe in this fairy tale. We do. We believe what we've been taught there. So I guess I wanted to throw some of these things out to you. I think every good and perfect gift comes from above, the Bible says in James. I just want to say, guys, where we're failing is we're not preaching Jesus. We're not proclaiming him. Most people, you go to houses and you'll see, oh, there's a blow-up. There's a blow-up Rudolph. There's a blow-up Frosty the Snowman, you know. There's Santa Claus, you know. There's a bunch of elves. There's the Grinch. That was our community thing this year. It was the Grinch downtown, right? And all that, guess what? It's green. It's red. It glows. It's Christmas. So we enjoy it. The problem is when all of that overrides, the greatest gift that ever entered the planet was when God gave his son, Jesus Christ, who came in the form of man to take our sin, to bleed, bled and died, paid a price for it, and 3 days later, resurrected to life. That's the problem is when we do Santa Claus, Rudolph, the Red Ryder BB guns, elves, all that and all the shows. The problem is when we do that and we do it from Thanksgiving on, and then Christmas Day, we're like, everybody get around. We're going to read about the reason for the season. You ain't fooling nobody. Jesus is not the reason for your season. It's fun. It's time off work, and kids love it. Let's be a little bit more intentional about the truth. And it's kind of like the Tooth Fairy, you know. Is the Tooth Fairy real? You ever seen the movie, The Tooth Fairy? Don't watch it. It's scary. It's a horror movie. I'm not lying. Now, I'm not talking about the one that rocks there. I'm talking about the other one. Whew, that's scary. The Tooth Fairy crawls on the ceiling. Grows up under. Yeah, you don't want that Tooth Fairy coming to your house. Is the Tooth Fairy real? The problem is we like to take our kids. And here's what we do. Because of what we and the way we grew up, and I did the same thing, we like to go in and we say, you know, you got a little tooth and you put it usually under the pillow. Some people put it in a baggie. You do with different things. If you're grossed out by it, they put it in baggies and seal it up, you know. We didn't as kids. We just put it under there, blood and all. And then you try to get another one loose before you go to sleep to make more money. But, I remember waking up in the morning and I'd say, hey, look, and I'd come out with money. And my mom would say, man, the Tooth Fairy was in here. That's freaky. You start getting older, you're like, if the Tooth Fairy is real, one, I'm not going to lose any teeth, and if I do, they're going to the neighbor's house, man. I am not putting that under my pillow to draw that kind of character in here, you know. But isn't it funny? Why, as parents, wouldn't you just say when your kid left, guess what? It means you're growing up. You're losing, they're called baby teeth. And now you're going to get a new one. God's going to allow a new one to come in. It'll be your permanent teeth, and you'll have them the rest of your life. So guess what? As a reward for growing up, you know, we do this with report cards sometimes. Hey, the report card fairy for every A you're going to get is going to give you $3, you know. There's no report card fairy. Well, we sell it on the Tooth Fairy thing, but why wouldn't we just say, hey, son, you're growing up, man, so guess what? There's going to be a prize for you. That's right, for growing up. Yeah, put it under your pillow, you'll see. One time I went into Josie's room at night, and I reached under there to get her tooth, and she's like, bink! Her eyes are like, what's up? I have my hand in her mouth. She'll say, man, the Tooth Fairy's gained some weight over the years. The Tooth Fairy's got a beard. Well, that's probably more of the reality, isn't it? So, hey, church, I just want to preach that little message just to give it out there. And I do want to be careful. Even when I was going to do this, I thought, I hope a bunch of little children ain't in the room. I wanted to do it in such a way that I think mom, parents, you know, I get it. We all got hobbies, habits, and things. in our life that probably God reveals to us that overshadows Jesus and God and his glory. We got to give those things up. We do that our whole lives, I think. And this is one that's just so cultural. I just wouldn't freak out about it so much. But, Elf on the Shelf, all that stuff that's big and people do. But the problem is it's just a fairy tale. I would just make sure I would overshadow the fairy tales with the truth. Put the truth out there. Constantly put the truth out there. The day's going to come when they're going to know it's not true. And some kids have had a fit over it. Some kids really cry when they learn that they're fair. I remember the day I learned when professional wrestling was staged. What's weird to me today is people watch it like it's real. It's entertainment. Grown men watch it. I don't understand that, but for me as a child, I was heading into junior high school, and this is back when, Jimmy Superfly Snuka, Bob Backdoor, the Junkyard Dog, those type of names were out there. And I was watching. My brother always told me they were fake, and I just told him to shut up, but I didn't believe it. My dad came in and said, laughed one time, I turned around, he goes, it was just funny. And then, when I got it, I was just like, not as fun. It's not as fun to know that was all made up, It's not real. And so that's exactly how it's going to be some of our children. If you want to play the card too well, you just wait till the day. You'll deal with the tears and people will just say, my gosh, I never knew. But make sure in your house you're pushing the Lord Jesus Christ, God's gift to planet Earth. And we guys, and by the way, he wasn't born on December 25th anyways. It was the Catholic Church that actually got that date going for us based upon some Celtic worship they had in the past. If you look at the time they did the census and the time he was born, it probably wasn't, definitely not December 25th. But we use that date. And it's okay. I don't think there's nothing wrong with it. And who doesn't like getting gifts? You know what I'm talking about? So let's just remember Matthew 18. Jesus says, hey, whoever offends a little one that believes in me, we should tie a rock around your neck and throw you in the ocean, man. Because their minds are so precious and tender. They're so easily developed and changed and taught and molded. Just make sure in your house you're not molding minds on the fables. We mold minds on the truth. And yet, cartoons are still fun to watch, ain't they? All that made up stuff. We watch movies that are made up. You ever watch a guy pull out a revolver and he's in the bar? Man, he's got two guns. And he shot 37 people and he's still shooting bullets. And it's funny, you start learning things like you get older, you're just like, man, he's never reloaded that pistol once. What's going on in here? Well, Hollywood's going on. Just make sure you note that. If that's the case of it, whatever gun he has, that's the one I want. It's fake, that's why. So, you guys ready for some Nehemiah chapter 8? Let's do it. I'll move quick on it. Nehemiah chapter 8 is really, really loaded. Nehemiah chapter 7, man, we talked a lot last week just about all this genealogy